The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Carrie.
And I'm Josh.
And we're from Central Florida.
And we love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 364 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean, as always, not just today, but every day.
Hi, I'm always here. Yeah, I'm always here. Hey, good job with back-to-back training this weekend. Getting ready for Star Wars.
Back-to-back training. It's been since January out in California since I've done back-to-back. And
the weather's fantastic.
The weather's been, yeah, and we just figured out, Michelle, that we're going to be running in a soup kitchen 10K a week before the dark side. So I can't run a marathon. So we're going to have to shift our training a little bit, but
I don't know what your training is.
Well, I wanted to simulate Dark Side the week before.
Do I get a pat on the back for today?
Yes, you stayed with me.
I did. I wasn't the impatient person I used to be.
You stayed with me. I stayed with you. I did not go too slow or too fast.
It was great. So
it was fun. But yeah. Anyways. So let's get going and
yeah,
then
well,
come back
I
to you for
I think we have
sure.
other people to,
yes, we do.
To introduce here.
Joining us is we call him Man in the Wilderness. He's known as Chris Eliopoulos. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Mike. Our song of the day is for somebody who's like the biggest rap aficionado that I know, Mr. Mike Scopa. Lose Yourself by Eminem. I know you're
yes!
a big rap fan, Mike, also.
I played that for Mike the other day.
I didn't know that these candies had songs. M&M's. I see the ads, but
I had him listen to the music and told him it is like Shakespeare.
Yeah,
but he doesn't believe me.
Just don't have the green M&M's, Mike.
Mike said to me this week, I have to share, I will watch every episode of Downton Abbey, but just don't make me listen to rap music. So anyway, it's a torture for him.
So we have a special guest on today. I'm going to let everybody in on a secret. When WDW Today had our live shows, and when someone would come up with a question, I know that Mike, Len, Matt, and I always would go to this person's site ready to get information. And if anybody asked a question, we knew that this person would have this information right there. She's a very dear friend. I think all of you will recognize the name, and we will also recognize the site from allears.net. It's Deb Wills. Welcome, Deb.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Thank you.
I was just using my All Ears lip balm today, and I am getting ready for my trip tomorrow. I have my little All Ears, the zipper pockets.
I use my All Ears umbrella on Friday, and I have an All Ears gym bag that I take to the gym.
So. Let me give our shout out.
I was showing somebody my All Ears medal from running a couple of years ago yesterday. So there you go. I'm in.
I got to give our shout out, and it is to Linda Eckworth, who is responsible, I believe, for ordering all the swag that you get when you visit All Ears people.
Yes,
is that right?
Is.
Yeah. So, yay, Linda.
She's the swag queen.
She comes up with some awesome swag.
Well, we brought Deb on for a number of reasons, but first and foremost, we haven't really talked about Flower and Garden. And if you've been following allears.net, or even if you have Deb as a friend on Facebook, she's been busy posting all kinds of photos and doing all kinds of reports on Flower and Garden. So we wanted to bring Deb on and talk about it. But Deb, before we talk about this year's Flower and Garden, maybe could you give everyone who's listening an idea of what the Flower and Garden Festival is all about?
I'll do my best. 23 years ago, if you can believe that, was the very first official Flower and Garden Festival. It's always, to my knowledge, been in the spring. And it's a combination of Disney Imagineering and Disney Horticulture Department and the folks at Epcot who create the topiaries that have been around since the Magic Kingdom opened way back when. And they have an art of developing and creating these topiaries, and they would start to place them in different parts of Epcot. And in addition to topiaries, they would have sculptures representing flower and garden. One year, there were all kinds of flying insects, like ants and whatever else flies.
Ladybugs?
Ladybugs, yes.
And butterflies?
And then eventually it really spread into the amazing festival that it is now, a record 75, well, it was 75 days. Now it's a record 90 days. And it just brings such beautiful color to Epcot. And it's really nice to walk around, see the beautiful flowers. On the weekends, there's horticulture folks who are giving seminars in the Festival Center, which is the old Wonders of Life Pavilion. There are, they used to call them Flower Power Concerts, but last year I think the name changed to Garden Rocks. And so on the weekends, they have a variety of musical acts that come and perform. Herman's Hermits is coming soon, and ELO opened the festival. And just about everything in between to new folks today. 3 years ago, they decided to take a bit from the Food and Wine Festival and introduce something called Outdoor Kitchens. And if you've ever been to Food and Wine, these are just like the marketplaces, only instead, it's all about freshness. It's about what is fresh, what is what's season in season today. The fresh food, the healthy food. They go to growers in the area, come up with a wide variety of foods to taste. Same idea as Food and Wine, small plates. They also have beverages, but they don't focus on wine and beer. They have things like Florida sparkling wines and ciders. There is some beers, but they're all, I think, Florida beers. So they try and really make it a local festival, even though they call it international, because, of course, it goes around World Showcase.
You know, Deb, when I first heard, it was about a couple of years ago, when I first heard, found out about the kiosks, I really wasn't too sure how I was going to take that. I was really worried that it was just going to be a springtime food and wine festival. But I think my first impression was that they didn't overdo it. They were very careful regarding how many kiosks they had. Plus, like you just said, their approach was towards, you know, what's fresh and what's in season. So I was really pleasantly surprised that it turned out the way it was. I really was worried that it was going to be just another food and wine. So I was really impressed with it.
Well, I think myself and others had that same cautiousness coming up to the first year. And a lot of folks didn't even realize what was going on at the time because they weren't used to seeing that. They were just used to all the flowers and the topiaries and the sculptures. And this is now the third year for those. They've expanded it a little bit, but they try and keep it in a whole different motif and theming so that it really doesn't go with food and wine. Hopefully, I hope I don't offend anybody, but hopefully there's no drinking around the world, 50 people at a time, stumbling through World Showcase, which sometimes happens on weekend nights at Food and Wine. But it's really much more low-key, and it's nice to be able to take in. The weather's been beautiful here, walk around and look at everything, learn about the different gardens that there are, and be able to, you know, maybe sip on a sparkling beverage and have some you could have anything from the cider to fresh greens with apples and dried blueberries and vinaigrette, all kinds of neat stuff to eat. So it's much lighter. It's just a great atmosphere.
So this is always one of my absolute favorite times of the year. And it's kind of interesting because Food and Wine is one half of the park. Flower and Garden has been traditionally the other half of the park. And now this is kind of a way to pull them all together. But I just think it's great and definitely worthy of a few days. Don't you think, Deb?
Oh, absolutely. And if you have kids, there's a lot for the kids to do. In fact, they have different designated weekends. There's a family fun weekend that's coming. I think it's April 10th, where they're going to do all kinds of things with kids. They've got Animal Kingdom people involved. They're going to focus on bugs, like ladybugs. They're going to do a lot with the Purple Martins. So there's lots of exciting things happening then. They have a new play area this year. It's brand new. It's where the Monsters, Inc. play area has been, in that junction between Future World and World Showcase. And this year it's called the Harmony Gardens Musical Playground. And they really did a phenomenal job with this. And in addition to the topiaries with musical themes, they have drums. They have different kinds of playground equipment that actually makes sounds and noises. They have xylophones. There's all kinds of things that kids can play with. They have a nice little tent area so adults can sit in the shade if they want and watch their kids. But I've noticed a lot of adults playing right along with the kids with the xylophones and the drums. You know, it's kind of fun.
Adults named Deb Wills?
No, I haven't tried yet. And the other thing that they're doing this year, which I think is really important, is this is the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service.
Yes.
And so as a nod to that, they have Park Ranger Mickey, and they have Chip and Dale in their own section in Future World, again, as you go into World Showcase. And it's just a really nice tribute to the Park Service.
Oh, that's so cool. I knew it was the 100th anniversary, but I didn't know about that. And I know you and Linda are big park fans, national park fans too. So that's cool.
Can I ask a question? Do they do they provide Claritin when you enter the park? For those of us that are totally allergic to everything,
it's kind of like gum. You have to ask, and they go under the counter.
Yeah,
and aspirin. You know.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Oh boy.
So I noticed that you've got so much information all the aside that, and I know one of our friends, Kristen Ford, Kristen put together a blog that talks about things to do. So I just wanted to point that out.
On All Ears.
On All Ears, mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things I know that it's one of Michelle's favorite places to go is the butterfly, Butterflies on the Go.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Kristen's great. She's our family blogger. She's been with us for several years now. And it's been really interesting to watch her develop as a family blogger as her kids have gotten older. I mean, they were tween, pre-tween when she started, and they're getting older and becoming more adults and having a great time. So it's been neat to see the transition. The Butterflies on the Go is probably one of the most popular areas, and a hint for folks, if it's typically warm out, you can go in there first thing in the morning to see some butterflies. But if it's a cool morning or a cloudy morning, you don't want to go there right away, even though it's empty, because there's not a lot of activity flying around. The butterflies really like the warmth.
Right, they're cold-blooded, so they'll warm up like lizards. Yeah. I was reading in my Mickey Monitor that actually is one of the most popular things of the whole flower and garden is the butterfly thing. So
They used to have topiaries in there, but they have moved them out the last few years because in addition to watching the butterflies and looking at all the flowers, people were stopping and they wanted to get pictures of the topiaries, and they thought there was too many things happening in this one area. So lots of topiaries outside of the butterfly garden.
So what are your favorite topiaries this year?
That was my question, but go
ahead.
That was my question.
Well, there's a lot of returning topiaries, as you might imagine. Some of them are in new locations. I think one of my favorite things, though, is to see the floral landscape around Future World from the Imagination Pavilion and all the way around. It's just a beautiful carpet of color, and they've got some Mickeys in there. The water has beautiful floating gardens in it, and it's just, it's a eye candy, for lack of a better word. It's just a beautiful, beautiful location. I do like Ranger Mickey as a Park Service fan. I'm really excited that he's there this year. They've moved some people around. The troll has gone from Norway, and now Anna and Elsa are over there. And they've, you know, Captain Hook and Peter Pan are still over in the UK, but they've moved some people around into different locations to change it up just enough. But Mickey's really cool, and I have to share a story with you. When I was going by him taking pictures last week, a woman came over with her two boys and said, "Look, kids, it's Indiana Jones." And they were all excited. But, you know, it's whatever works.
Yeah. I'm very good friends with the park rangers in Lowell, Mass. And I am going to have to take some pictures of Mickey when I'm there this week. That's awesome.
Hey, Deb, is there a topiary scavenger hunt this year?
Well, in the festival pocket guide that they've had for the last few years, there is, it's the passport is what they call it. They actually made it into a really nice checklist this year. So I don't know that it's a topiary scavenger hunt per se, but there is a list of all the topiaries with checkoff boxes. And they tell you where they are, but some are a little bit harder to find. They also have something for each of the outdoor kitchens. They have a sheet on all the garden destinations. And one thing, it's really kind of tongue-in-cheek, there is a prehistoric plants garden. And this is really kind of interesting because it's over near the Universe of Energy. And they took plants that have been around for a bazillion years, and they have little plastic dinosaurs in them.
Oh. That's a little tacky.
It is tacky, but it's kind of cute, you know, and it's another thing so kids can relate instead of just looking at all this great foliage. They're like, hey, look at the dinosaur.
Yeah, I think this is a very kid-friendly experience. You know, I'm looking at my Mickey monitor this week, of course, because I'm going, and they mentioned what the most popular dish is. Anybody have any guesses?
Oh, that was going to be one of my questions.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I'm taking all your questions. Deb, any ideas?
No. Is it Mike the most delicious dish?
What's the most delicious dish?
No, the most popular, the one that comes popular. That people ask for.
It's not the coconut run Dole Whip, is it?
That sounds like it should be in the running.
The most popular one. Yeah. Wow. I don't know what that would be.
I'm going to say spicy. That's
pineapple hot
question.
Dog.
The spicy roll?
No. It is, and I'm probably going to have about seven of these. It is the watermelon salad.
I knew you were going there.
It's a mix of watermelon, arugula, peppers, and feta tossed with balsamic syrup, and it's the most popular dish. And
I knew you were going there.
It's perfect for that weather, too.
That actually came into my mind. I thought, no, that can't be it. But that is such a refreshing salad. Yeah. They really have a nice job with that. And it's something that, you know, when it's warm, it's just cool and tasty. I love that. It's in the Urban Farm Eats area, which also this year has a vegetable and white bean nanwich that is arugula pesto and sun oven-dried tomatoes, quinoa, brown and red rice. And I had that on a piece of... piece of bread, not a piece of bread, but
what do they call that stuff?
It's on a piece of naan, and was really, really tasty. I enjoyed that a lot. So they're both in the same location, Michelle.
I follow what you guys have for dinner on Facebook, and that sounds like just a typical day in your house. You guys are such good cooks.
Linda's a good cook. And another thing at that particular Urban Farm Eats outdoor kitchen, there's a natural peach sparkling wine from France. Oh. And I didn't know that I didn't think I'd like it, but I tasted it. First of all, when you smell it, the bouquet, the aroma, it's just like you just picked a peach off the tree. Wow. And it's not overly sweet. It's very light. It was a nice, refreshing drink. And it went well with the nanwich and the watermelon salad.
Oh, boy. All right. I know what I'm having tomorrow.
Man, I'm looking at, what is it, ice pop Grand Marnier? Peach cocktail? Oh, man.
The ice pops over in France, yes. Yeah, oh, those are awesome.
Yeah? Michelle, bring one home.
Oh, my gosh. I will. I'll send one. I'll send it to you.
FedEx.
It's like, you know, those old pop-up things.
Yeah.
But Grand Marnier, why aren't we doing this? We need to do this.
Oh, my God. I need that recipe.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
So, Deb, are there any other dishes that you'd recommend?
Well, the smokehouse is extremely popular. They've added a couple different options this year. They have smoked pork ribs with a cold corn salad. They have beef brisket burnt ends hash, which is really pretty good. And like this particular dish has pickled jalapenos, but when you order and you move over to the counter itself to pick your food up, some of the food, like the jalapenos, are added at the end. Mm-hmm. So you can ask the cast member who's assisting with the food delivery to please, can you give me one without the jalapenos? It's not always possible, but if it's a topping put on at the end, you can certainly ask for that.
Awesome. I know that a lot of you and other All Ears people do a lot of the special events, the demonstrations that you were talking about. Have you done any this year? I know the Flower and Garden just started really on March 2nd, but.
I have not done any this year. They're now only held on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And Kristen, I think, went to one when she did the media event a few weeks ago. It was how about potting plants and things starting from seed. I have not gone this year because I've been there mostly during the week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it goes till May 30th, so there's plenty of time for people to do that.
That concludes part one of our visit with Deb Wills as we talk about the 2016 Walt Disney World Flower and Garden Festival. Join us in the next episode where we continue our discussion about Flower and Garden and more. So for Deb Wills, for Chris Haleopoulos, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.